You know, you have to have the right mindset. I call it mind reset, thinking like a rainmaker, being passionate, committed, and being confident, like Thoreau said.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, your host, and I hope that you're having a wonderful day. If you haven't heard the show before, go back and listen to some episodes. We've got some doozies from top rainmakers like we have today. And Joe, hey, Joe, how's it going? I caught him right as he was taking a drink.
Steven, you always have impeccable timing. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you too. We've got experts in marketing, in sales, in business development, in branding, in wealth and health and wellness, and wealth and hellness. I don't know what's going on with me today. I think I got up too early. But whatever the case is, we've got a show for you. We've got content that's going to really help you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And I am so, so happy to have my friend Joe on the show today. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to learn a lot. Joe and I, how long have we known each other, buddy?
You know, it's got to be 20 years or so.
It's been a long time, and you've been just amazing. And we used to share a similar situation at Petarino's in the city back when it was a lettuce restaurant. And I remember, having my own booth there for years, and I thought I was the bee's knees. And then I walk over to your booth, and you had like sliced peppers and like cucumbers for the water and lemons. And I was like, who is this guy? Jesus Christ.
Well, I came very close to having my own menu item, and for some reason it just never happened. So,
bricado sandwich? Was it a bricado sandwich?
Say that again.
Was it going to be a bricado sandwich?
You know what? That just doesn't sound right. So I probably would have named it something else.
Bacon, avocado, tomato, bricado.
Well, that works. Yeah.
All right.
You know, we're going to go back. It's under new ownership. Yeah. So you and I are going to go back. We're going to ask for that to happen.
I may need to change professions. I think I might just be better at naming people's names and menu items, right? I think there's restaurants that do that. That could be my thing.
And then I could be the taste tester, and then it'll be a great relationship. That's what we're here for, right?
Yep. I think we've got this worked out. And I'll introduce Joe in a little more detail in a minute. But, you know, we love to start the show with the quote of the show. And Joe, so kind to send me a wonderful Henry David Thoreau quote: go confidently in the direction of your dreams. So talk about that. Why is that such an impactful quote for you, Joe?
Well, it really goes back to my childhood when I would do my homework in grammar school. I had a little desk in our basement, and on the wall I had several posters, and one of which was this quote. And it was a picture of a beautiful jet airplane, and it was in the sky above the clouds. And it had the quote, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. So that always stuck with me. And quite interestingly, that was the first sentence, really, of two-sentence quote that Thoreau had. And the second sentence was, live the life you've imagined. And so it always reminded me as I grew up and got into business that, you know, when we pursue our passions, when we pursue our dreams, it really does test our self-confidence. And so we have to believe in ourselves. We have to determine to succeed and really look for that inner strength. So I've always tried to remember that over the years.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. And I think we all have dreams, and we don't realize that we need to go after them, because we only have one shot at this thing. I have a very close friend that called me the other day with some tough news about, you know, something going on with his brain. I'm not going to get into detail, but you know, and I was in a plane crash. I mean, back in my 20s, I mean, you just never know. It could just be, you know, just driving along and getting hit by someone who's texting at the time. So, you know, you only have one shot. So go after it. Absolutely go after it. And you won't have any regrets. I think that's a big thing, is living with regret because you didn't take, you know, and I'm not saying take crazy risks. I'm saying, you know, think through what you want and how you're going to do it, and bring in the right people. And maybe an excellent, by the way, segue into our main like topic today, but how do you bring people into your life that can help you with your dreams and to achieve your goals and your dreams and things like that? And before we get into all that, Joe, you're an author, you're a rainmaker, you're a senior partner with your name partner at your firm. And do us a solid and give us a little bit of a background on how you came to be and doing all that you do in the legal space.
Well, again, I just want to thank you for having me, and for all the years we've known each other, I've watched your career and the great business that you've built. And I think it's so important to have a platform for people to learn about business development. So thank you for the service in that regard. I'm a local Chicago guy, went to school here, and started practice in 1992 doing transactional law. So wasn't really a big fan of going into the courtroom. I'm a deal guy. I like to get deals done. And, you know, really worked my way through the system as an associate. I worked really hard, I think, to try to become the best lawyer that I could. A mentor very early on told me that, you know, if you want to be a business developer, you want to have a great material book of business, first thing you do is you try to become a great lawyer. And so I've always tried to continue to learn over the years. I've been doing this a long time now. And in March of 14, I joined a new firm, became an equity partner with Gazdecki Del Judas, Americus Sparkus and Mercado. It's quite a mouthful. We refer to ourselves as GDFB internally, just to save some typing. But so it's, I head up our transactional practice. So we have a great corporate commercial real estate, estate planning, business succession, IP, healthcare regulatory practice, in addition to just a fantastic litigation practice. So very honored to do what I do and to have the clients that I have, and very proud to be here today and to share whatever thoughts I have.
Yeah, and you've got quite a lot of thoughts, because we've talked at length about relationships and networking and all that. Talk to me, though, was there any moment in your career, because, you know, developing business isn't easy, developing relationships and building a solid book isn't easy. Was there a particular, like, be that lawyer tipping point, or some moment where things clicked for you where they maybe hadn't before?
That's a good question. I'm sure with everyone, there are many moments in your life where you just wake up, you learn something. And thinking back early on in my career as an attorney, probably 3 or 4 years into the practice, I was working my tail off. I was doing well financially, but I started to realize that I wasn't as happy as I thought I'd be. On one hand, I was doing really well business-wise. On the other hand, my happiness level appeared to be sinking. So I remember sitting down with a good friend of mine at Pedorino's, by the way.
Now, there you go.
In my booth. And I was seated on the right side of the booth. You know, I always like to have the seat that faces the wall. So don't ask me why, but in any event. So we chatted, and as it turned out, through our discussions, I realized that I was ignoring a big part of who I was as a human being. And that was my music side. I started playing drums when I was 5 years old, started playing guitar in high school. I was a semi-professional musician for many years in my young adulthood, and stopped playing live soon after I started practicing, and wasn't listening to music as much, wasn't going to concerts. I pretty much ignored that side of who I was. So I just determined to make a shift and to really bring music back into my life, and started working with some bands to manage them, some friends that I had, and started to work on getting more clients in the music space and the entertainment business, and started going to more concerts. So as I realized that I was ignoring a big part of who I was, I became a little bit more authentic in how I was living my life. So I had that for the first time in my career at that point, I had a balance between work and something that really, truly was a passion of mine from early childhood. And it seemed like from that point on, I had my head on straight. I had the right mindset to be able to go out confidently and pursue a dream that I had, to really represent the very best legal clients I could, build up my own book of business, and perform at the highest level possible. And I think I've done that. And so I still go to a lot of concerts, and I'm always looking to find people who like hard rock, because as I get older, it seems like I'm the only guy in the audience at an Iron Maiden concert and having a great time. So yeah. In any event, so that was a real important part of my life, and I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Okay. All right. So question for you, Metallica or Rush? You can only pick one.
Well, listen, it's like picking your best child. I got to go with Rush. We talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm quite fond of the band. I was deeply saddened when my hero, Neil Peart, the drummer, passed away.
Yeah.
And so I love the band. But that said, love Metallica. Hope to see their current tour that they're starting soon. And what about you? What would you say? Rush or Metallica?
Yeah, I'm all about the Rush. I mean, since I was in my early 20s, that's been the band. Do you ever meet
that? Really good long solo.
Top of the list, I think.
When you like Rush, everything else falls into place.
You ever meet Hillard Sterling? You know Hillard?
No.
Oh, you got to meet Hillard. All right, I'll make that introduction. See, I'm already networking here, right? He was on my show not so long ago, but he either played in a tribute band or whatever. He's insane for Rush. So you guys would hit it off well. So let's get into the weeds on our main topic today. And what I want to discuss is, you know, relationships, and you've been like Mr. you know, relationship with me and with a lot of other people for so long. And you know, you've got a book on happiness. I think you're putting another book together on relationships. And why do lawyers, and we'll just pick on that group, but why do they struggle with creating and developing and sustaining relationships in their lives and in business in particular?
Yeah, great question. You ask a lot of great questions.
I don't stop either.
I don't know if my answers are great, but I'll try. Well, I can only speak from my experience. I don't think I can speak for everybody, but I know it's a lot to juggle, you know, especially when you're starting out. You come out of law school and they don't really teach you how to go out and develop business in law school. And frankly, once you start practicing, you realize there's just so much to learn about actually being a lawyer. So you've got that going. And then if you decide to try to get your own clients and really take care of those clients, it's a lot. And so in my case, early on, I didn't really have a game plan. And I, you know, knew that relationships were important, but I didn't really appreciate how much you had to really focus on the dynamic, the interpersonal dynamic in a relationship to really sustain it, make it the best relationship possible. So I had a lot of trial and error. I had a lot of experiences early on that I learned from. And over the years, what I have done is I've developed my own approach. I call it crux rainmaking. And I have a book about this, which is in the can. Hopefully we will publish it someday. But it's really a kind of three-prong approach to developing businesses. And this literally just came through sheer experience. You know, you have to have the right mindset. I call it mind reset, thinking like a rainmaker, being passionate, committed, and being confident, like Thoreau said. And then to have really a method of go out and generating strategic leads that can bring in the business, and then really understanding how to develop what I call a unique business relationship, a UBR. And these are relationships that are difficult, if not impossible, to replace. And what that really comes down to, and that's really the essence of my newest book, which will hit stores May 1st of this year, Hit It Off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships in Life and Business. It's really about establishing that emotional connection with people. And that's something that I really learned. I looked at my very best relationships and I asked, why are they my best relationships? And it turned out I just recognized that we transcended mere friendship into a different realm of emotional connection where we were there for each other. There was a trust, there was a bond. And that's what the book really hopefully gives some tools that are all backed by science, did a lot of research on this, that gives us the confidence that if we use this toolbox in the book, that it really maximizes the likelihood of hitting it off with someone, which is the name of the book, when we first meet them, which is really important in our business. We meet somebody at a cocktail party or in a meeting or an event, we really have to make that great first impression. And then we really have to develop that emotional connection over the long term. We have that relationship that's difficult, if not impossible, to replace.
Did you know that 36% of potential clients would take their business elsewhere if they had a bad call experience? Roll out the red carpet for your callers and website visitors with experienced and professional MoneyPenny receptionists. Our awesome team, super powered by technology, will get to know your business inside out so they can answer calls and respond to web chats exactly as if part of your team. Start your free trial by quoting the name Fretson and get started today with MoneyPenny.
With the help of Practice Panther, our office is more efficient than ever. We now provide an even higher level of service to our clients.
I've collaborated with Practice Panther for years, and I'm always hearing from happy customers just like that one. Practice Panther wants to save you up to 8 hours every week, and I want to save you money. All my listeners can get an exclusive discount, 50% off your first 3 months. Learn how your firm can boost productivity with automated workflows, custom intake, and native e-payments by visiting practicepanther.com/be that lawyer to discover more and claim this deal.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
But let's go back to the beginning, though, when you say you meet someone at a cocktail party and you need to make a great first impression. What are a couple things that lawyers should be doing, saying, how they should be behaving to make that first interaction count? Because you only get one shot at a good first impression. You don't want to blow it. Yet people are just winging it without any real thought behind it. But yet there are things that you should be doing and thinking about before you just jump in and start, you know, glad-handing people.
Well, again, I can only speak for myself, and I will tell you that, and I've probably learned to do this over time more so than early on in my career, to be authentic, to be genuine, to be who you are. First and foremost, people are only going to do business with you if they like you and they trust you. So you can't, in a setting like that, come off as a salesy person. I know you're big into not being salesy, which I think is a great pitch for lawyers. Be who you are. Have an air of confidence, not cockiness, but confidence in your ability and your desire to really help them. And as lawyers, we're advocates. We like to protect people. We like to make sure their interests are being represented properly. So it's very important that you convey a level of confidence, and, you know, everybody has great qualities. We have to bring those great qualities out. It might be your humor. I don't tell canned jokes. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm more of a sit-down type of comedian. But for me, it's really more, if there's a situation where I can throw in some humor that's tasteful, obviously,
yeah,
it lightens the mood.
Yeah.
And another key component, this is in the book, it's all about conscious listening. To really listen to what people are saying, you shouldn't be really thinking about something you're going to say next. And when you really practice active listening, I mean, science really does show that you have a higher likelihood of understanding what the person really means. And in a setting where you're just meeting someone, if you're not staying focused on what they're talking about, what they're saying, what they're intending to say, and you're missing out on great opportunities to connect with people. And there could be similarities that you have. They might mention an interest that they have. Like, you know, if someone mentions they're a music fan, and I might say, hey, do you like Rush? What kind of genre? That then gets into a sharing of interest that really promotes like-mindedness. And again, the research that I have done says that if you're able to tie those things together, you're able to really maximize the likelihood of hitting it off with someone.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that starts with not only, you know, a kind of a not overly crazy handshake, just a normal, like, good pressure handshake and some eye contact, but also having a couple of questions prepared, right? Because if the goal is to get someone talking, to understand about them and what they're into so that you can then, you know, reach in and commiserate on whatever it might be, you know, kids or their firm or where they live, what neighborhood, what restaurants they like, whatever, music, whatever it might be, it starts off with some questions. Do you have a question or two that you like to ask? Like, assuming that you and I just met at a cocktail party and you walk up to me and you say, hello, Steve, nice to meet you. What are some things that you'd like to put out there, like, to get me talking?
Well, there's one question that may or may not be appropriate in the initial encounter, but something that...
Is it, you come here often? Totally inappropriate, Joe. Come on.
Are we at Pitorinos? Is that a question I would ask at Pitorinos? If someone asked me that, I'd say, of course.
Yeah, here like every day.
Just look for me in my booth. By the way, at Pitorinos, when I did have my booth, when I was not there that day for lunch, they kept my booth empty. And they put my nameplate on there out of pure respect.
And that's insane that they did that.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay, just checking.
But a question that I would have for really anybody that I'm dealing with eventually is, how can I help you grow your business? It's an open-ended question. Everybody's looking to grow their business. And if you are able to help them do that in any way possible, they're going to be very appreciative. The concept of gratitude cannot be overstated. It is truly an important part of the dynamic, really offering up value to people in a way that they want it. So you have to listen to what they're looking for, what they need, and really put together your value chest and be able to offer that up to people. But you always have to look for it. And this just happened last night. I was at a family office networking event. There were 20 people, and there's several people that I actually had an opportunity to spend some time speaking with. But at the end of the night, I looked back and I said, well, what did I do right? Well, I listened, because there was one gentleman who very significant in a particular area of business. And I immediately thought of a connection with one of my clients where they own some property that I think what might be very interesting for this gentleman who I met, potentially buy, lease, develop. And now I'm going to introduce them. So you have to always be thinking, listening, and putting the pieces together. And if you're able to do that earlier on in the relationship, it could be that very first encounter, you're going to leave people with the impression that you're someone who can really help them grow their business.
Yeah, I love that question that you asked about what, you know, business for you. Another way to phrase that, and I usually do this, let's say I've been talking to someone for 10 minutes. I'm not promising anything because I just met this person. They could be a lunatic. So I'm always careful. But the way I phrase this question, Joe, it really is a safe way to do it. And that is, you know, what should I be listening for, looking for in a good connection for you? And then let them talk. And I'm not committing that I'm going to make anything, because I need to get to know them better, maybe schedule a coffee or a Zoom or something. But that way I can at least understand, oh, I'm looking to meet CPAs, or I'm looking to meet these kinds of lawyers, I'm looking to meet people in healthcare, whatever it might be. It's just a safer play. But I think, you know, if you can get someone talking for 5 or 10 minutes, part of it is to build that relationship and get them talking. The other part of it that I think is important is to qualify. And it doesn't mean we can't be friends with everybody. We absolutely have that ability. But if I find out that someone isn't in legal, someone isn't a lawyer or involved in legal at all, or they're not really like connected to me in any way, shape, or form, I can be nice and I can say, great meeting you. I promised myself when I came here today, I was going to kind of, you know, meet a bunch of, you know, kind of work the room and all that. But it was great meeting you, Joe. And I'm going to, you know, go to the bar, go to the dinner, whatever. But I'm going to move on and not sit and talk to that person for 30 minutes, because my time in that 2 hour space or whatever I'm there for is critical. So make a friend, but also don't feel obligated that you have to sit in the mud with that person for too long.
I completely agree. And you get that sense over time. You know, the gentleman I referred to was a very, very well-established individual. And I knew of him and had wanted to meet him over time. And, you know, what you say to someone like that is going to be different from someone who perhaps you literally have no idea who they are. You don't know who invited them. You really don't know them. Yeah. And I like your question about, you know, hey, who should I be looking out for you? And in situations where it's appropriate, if you're able to pepper the conversation with something solid, where you're going to leave them with the impression that you're someone they need to know. And in our legal profession, there are a lot of people who can draft a document, a lot of very smart people in our profession. But if you're able to leave a potential client or a referral source with the impression that, legitimate impression that, you know a lot of people that can really help them grow their business, there's going to be a light that goes on in their brain, and it's going to trigger them to remember you. And then when you reach out to them again, that's how they're going to think of you. And that's a great way to make a first impression.
Yeah. And I think it's a good segue. I know we've got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that you were able to discuss and share the three pillars of relationships and how people, lawyers in particular, need to think about sustaining relationships. And you've already kind of mentioned authenticity. You've kind of mentioned the emotional connection, but maybe go back and hit on those two points. And then the third pillar that you have, and I think that would be a great way to kind of wrap up the segment.
Like I said earlier, you know, when I went through that period where I realized my happiness was sinking, I learned the importance of authenticity, of really looking inward and figure out who you are at core. What is your essence? What do you truly love to do? Martin Seligman, the grandfather of positive psychology, said that authentic happiness is doing what you truly love to do. And so if you're able to identify that and have a good balance in your life, you can bring that authentic self into a relationship, whether into a cocktail party, into a meeting, whatever it might be. So you're being truly authentic. And when you are that way, then you're able to set authentic goals. And these are goals that are tied to who you are at your essence. Because the research shows that if you do that, then you're much more likely to achieve your goal. You're going to enjoy the journey to achieving the goal. And when you achieve it, you're actually going to be happy, which I think is important. The second pillar really is that emotional connection, which we've touched on. And this is really a fundamental human need. When you're able to figure out how to connect with someone on that emotional level and really capture the essence of humanity in that, then you may have a friend forever. And so you have to work hard. And the reason why I think a lot of people, including me early on, and even still to a certain extent today, have always had issues and problems doing that is because everybody's busy. We're pulled in a million different directions. And sometimes we take relationships for granted. So one of the big reasons I wrote Hit It Off was to provide a toolbox for people. Things that would seem intuitive, whether it's eye contact, whether it's emotional intelligence, respect, providing value for people, using neuro-linguistic programming, mirroring and matching people when to establish rapport. These things are backed by science. And if you use these 21 rules, you're really able to focus on the dynamic of the relationship. And that's really all about being critical, critical thinking, wrapping critical thinking, objectivity in the dynamic, the interpersonal relationship that you're having, and really being strategic in measuring up a situation, making sure you're dealing with it properly, seeing what's going right, seeing what's going wrong, evaluating that honestly and objectively, and then having a game plan. So I really look at the book as a game plan, which I think if everybody has, we're going to be able to really maximize our likelihood of success in life and in business.
So it sounds like if I can just, you know, take everything you just shared and say, so I guess winging it isn't the best strategy for lawyers. Is that what I'm picking up?
Fortuity, I've always said, not the best business plan.
Yeah.
I think we do need a game plan. You know, people don't go out on a sports field without a play in their mind. We don't have strategies. People don't have strategies in sports, or if a band goes on stage and they don't know what song they're going to play next, it's not going to be as professional as it could be. And you're not going to have the effect on your audience that you want to have. So having a game plan, and that's why I feel like over the years, I have put a game plan together with a lot of inefficiency along the way. So my hope was in this book to really capture the essence of what I think is truly important so people can take this, use it to their advantage, and really go confidently in the direction of their dreams.
Yeah. And Joe, listen, I know that I always ask when I wrap up an interview like this about someone's game-changing book, and you put in How to Win Friends and Influence People. I would argue that book needs to be talked about right now. I would almost rather hear about your book on happiness. And I think lawyers right now need to find their happy place and find how to get happy the way you did. Would you be okay if I just did a flip on you and said, let's not, I mean, win flip friends and influence, fine. But yeah. I think, can we talk about your book, Happiness?
I would love to talk about my book, and I appreciate that. It's called Happy is Cool, How to Ignite the True Happiness in You. In the course of my research for that book, I found out that the legal profession is the unhappiest profession. We have surpassed dentists for all the bad stuff. It's not good. And so I've dealt with that in my own life, my own career. And the impetus for the book really was I was at a water park with my children, and when they were much younger, and I saw them in the water and they were having best time laughing. And I said to myself, how could I keep them happy like that for the rest of their lives? I just started jotting down ideas. I had 30 of them, which I now call coaching keys in the book, because I also am a life coach. So I wanted to present a book that's not just applicable to kids, but also to adults, people of every age. And so it's written kind of as a coaching session where you have a little commentary on the issue, and then you answer some questions, you have a stream of consciousness exercise, and then you set three goals for yourself. And I think if people were to look at these coaching keys, they might say, well, there are a few that are applicable to me, some are not. The idea is to figure out what the impediment is to you, to your happiness, and really having a strategy around that. So that's what that book is all about. If anybody wants to purchase it, I would love for you to read it. I do really think it's important for lawyers to figure that piece out, because if you go into a client relationship, potential client relationship, a referral source relationship, people don't want to deal with people who are unhappy. It brings everything down. So if you come into the relationship confident and upbeat in a sincere way, because you truly are authentically happy, I think it really helps. It helps in your business development.
Yeah. And if people want to grab that book, or they want to get in touch with you to learn more about, you know, your law practice and network with you, whatever that might be, what are the different channels? We'll put those in the show notes as well.
Sure. So my law firm email address is j.brocato@gozdel.com, G-O-Z-D-E-L.com. And if you want to check out the website for my book that's coming out May 1st, I'll be available everywhere. It's hititoffthebook.com. And very interested in speaking with anybody who would like to chat more about any of the topics we're talking today, because I really do have a passion for business development, happiness, and getting it off of people.
And happiness is cool. That's on Amazon, or where's that?
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
Okay. Probably
any site where you can order a book online.
Okay. Well, very cool. Very cool. Before we wrap up, I want to just take a moment to thank my wonderful sponsors, Practice Panther, Legalese Marketing, and of course, Money Penny, the wonderful sponsors of the show. And Joe, just thank you so much, not only for being a great friend and for just all the years of sharing ideas together, and when we, you know, collaborate over lunch or whatever it might be, and then finally getting you on the show, kicking and screaming to get you on here and sharing your wisdom with my audience. And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate, what you do and what you're doing for the legal community. It's really very, very noble.
Well, right back at you, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on, and looking forward to the next 20 years of our relationship.
Yes, I'm not going anywhere. Getting older, but not going anywhere. And thank you, everybody, for spending some time with Joe and I today. Listen, it's all life and business and personal. It's all about relationships. And, you know, Joe's got all these great ideas and strategies and, you know, tactical things and actionable things that you can do to develop stronger relationships that are going to not only help you in business, but in life. And so I just highly recommend you checking that out. And you know, for you, it's all about being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be well, be safe, be good, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.